whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Final hour of power coming up here on this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham will take you up to 10 o'clock. About 50 minutes left to go here in the program. Appreciate our pal Matthew Paris, The Times-Picayune out in New Orleans covering the Saints. Appreciate him being a good sport and giving us some time. If you missed any of my conversation with Matthew Paris, you are in luck. Download the always free Odyssey app. Use the Odyssey Rewind feature and go back to 8:45 to hear my conversation with Matthew Paris previewing the Commanders game. I'm excited because the Commanders play football again this weekend. And wherever your team is on a bye, it feels like forever, right? It feels like you're on a bye for six damn weeks. So that's how this felt with Washington. They're back out of the bye this week. And beautiful part about where things currently sit with Washington is they're in control of their own destiny, and it's a group that, in my opinion, feels like they're trending in the proper direction, though. Talked a lot about the Commanders here tonight. Right now, while we've got the time to do so, would like to take a spin around the National Football League and look at some of the top stories in the NFL. Like I said, it was a very, very interesting week number 14 in the NFL. I think I learned a hell of a lot. I also feel like I gained a deeper respect for some of the other teams Washington currently is fighting with in the NFC playoff picture. I got to get to the Philadelphia Eagles, though. To me, this Eagles situation that's currently happening is crazy, but also very on brand. If you remember last year, what happened with the Philadelphia Eagles, 10-1 start, one of the most epic collapses in recent memory. They lose on the road in the wild card round at Tampa. And you hear it, of course, at season's end. Nick Sirianni, Jalen Hurts, not on the same page. Well, the new rumor in the city of brotherly love is that A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts are no longer on the same page. Eagles wideout A.J. Brown spoke post-game after the team's victory over the Carolina Panthers and had this to say about what's going on in Philly.
Offense wasn't good enough. What are some things you think that the offense needs to improve on?
Passing.
AJ, I mean, I know everybody wants to get in rhythm. Devontae was a talented man. You know, receivers, just like running backs, want to get in rhythm. How hard is it as a receiver to get into a rhythm when you guys are only throwing the ball 20 times?
Incredibly tough.
It seemed like there was a moment on the sideline when you threw your helmet into the bench. What prompted that reaction?
Three and out.
A.J. Brown not too happy with his lack of involvement in Philadelphia's offense Sunday in their narrow win over the Carolina Panthers. I'll say this about Philadelphia. They're the hottest team right now in the NFL, right? Winners of 9 in a row. Say what you want about Sunday and how close they got to losing. It's all good. This is probably why A.J. Brown is annoyed. He needs to shut the hell up, if I'm being honest, though. The Eagles on Sunday, 14-21 for 108 yards and 2 touchdowns through the air. Hurts was sacked 4 times as well. But they ran for 209 yards. The Eagles are winning football games playing with the formula that's best for them to win football games. When you have Saquon Barkley running behind this big, physically imposing offensive line, yeah, you're only going to drop Jalen Hurts back 21 times. Tough cookie if you're A.J. Brown. I mean, honestly, I'm so sick. And as a Commanders fan, I guess I shouldn't be upset. I should be happy and rooting for any type of turmoil in Philadelphia. But holy hell. This is why wide receivers get a bad rap as being divas and not team players. You're on a 9-game winning streak, and you're in the post-game presser after a win, bitching and moaning about the passing game? A.J. Brown's got to be better. What's more disheartening, right? And I like to keep it 1,000 when it comes to the Eagles. What is more disheartening about the situation in Philly is that the post-game comments happened, right? A.J. said what he said. Emotional after a game, you give him an omission for it. But one of the Eagles' leaders, Mr. Graham, Brandon Graham, their star-studded defensive end, going to go in the Eagles Hall of Fame, may end up being an NFL Hall of Famer. He's had a pretty special career. You want to talk about throwing gasoline on the fire that is A.J. Brown versus the Eagles' passing offense? Take a listen to Brandon Graham on WIP in Philadelphia yesterday, trying to explain to the listening audience what's going on with the offense.
The person that's complaining need to be accountable. And I'm just being honest. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he know this. He, you know, I don't know the whole story, but I know that one is trying. And I mean, 11 could be a little better with how he respond to things. And they was friends before this. It's like, man, but things have changed. And I understand that because life happens. But we got to, it's the business side that we have to make sure that we don't let the personal get in the way of the business. And that's what we got to do better as right now, because we know it's an issue. Everybody's seen some things, but we need to be able to talk things out as men, you know what I'm saying? But we need to let personal stuff go, and let's get right for this game, because, man, it's like a lot of stuff, most of the time, it's just a conversation that just need to be had, but the person with the problem got to want to talk to the person other than others. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
That's Brandon Graham being an idiot. I'm going to call it what it is. That was the dumbest crap I've ever heard. Remember this moment. If the Philadelphia Eagles crash out once again down the stretch, you remember this moment. How in the hell is a 10-plus year NFL vet, how does a 10-plus year NFL vet not have the self-awareness, the wherewithal to say, you know what, I probably shouldn't be discussing the real legitimate problems that are existing right now within this organization? You ass clown. Brandon Graham is an absolute idiot. They're not friends right now. Who in the hell would know that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown are friends if Brandon Graham didn't open his trap and say what he said on WIP? That would be, let me give you the equivalent, right? That's like John Allen, who's out for the year, coming in and saying, yeah, Jaden's having issues with Cliff Kingsbury and Terry. You idiot. This is why the Philadelphia Eagles are going to fall flat on their face once again in the postseason, because they can't get their crap together in-house. I was so taken aback by it, because it just doesn't happen when you're – this is – Brandon Graham is a leader. He wears a C on his chest. Was his behavior on WIP that of a captain, that of a leader? Are you kidding me? If I was A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts, I would cuss Brandon Graham the hell out. You mean you going up at a sports bar running your damn mouth about us not being friends anymore? Kiss my ass. It's ridiculous. But why should I care? I'm a Commanders fan. The Eagles stink. That's what we want from Philadelphia, right? I mean, good Lord. It's just, I happen to think that they're a good football team. Right? And I believe that within my heart of hearts. But damn, how stupid can you get?
Yet again, aren't you just glad that it's not our team with this problem?
You're right. I'm glad that it's not us. But damn, the Eagles are a special team, in my opinion. And it hurts me to see personal agendas get in the way of prosperity. As someone that's played organized team sports at the collegiate level, high school level, it stinks when you see guys' egos and personality get in the way. And I'm talking about Brandon Graham. Brandon Graham's got a weekly spot on WIP, most likely. And he let the host poke him and poke him and poke him and poke him until he spilled the beans. He would probably eat a mukbang in an interrogation room. He's that type of dude. Just disappointing. Just disappointed in Brandon Graham. That's all. Eagles in action Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers, and it should be an absolute doozy. Want to continue to spin around the National Football League with a report that is really gone wild. Bill Belichick, former New England Patriots head coach, out of the coaching profession this year after his tumultuous end to his tenure in New England. According to reports over the weekend, Bill Belichick was in serious talks with the University of North Carolina to become that program's next head football coach. Well, Bill Belichick, lucky for us, we didn't have to wait for the rumor mill to refresh. All you had to do was cut on the Pat McAfee show on Monday, and you got to hear from Bill Belichick, who is a weekly guest on the Pat McAfee show. He had this to say about the rumor that he's interested in the job with the Tar Heels.
I've had some conversations with the chancellor at North Carolina, and so we'll see how that goes. We'll just see how it goes.
I think it caught folks by surprise that college coaching might appeal to you. Can you explain your decision-making process and why that does appeal to you, if in fact that's the route you go?
Well, again, I have an open mind and have a I think the college game is closer to the pro game than it's ever been with the new kind of landscape in college football. So, I've explored it, and we'll see how it works out.
I think it's widely assumed that you'd like to win another Super Bowl. And I think it's widely assumed that you'd like to break Don Shula's record. Is that and are those two things in the forefront of your mind?
Yeah, Jim, I don't have any set goals. I'm open to different opportunities going forward, and I'll just evaluate them as they come.
It's Bill Belichick lying. For him to say he doesn't care about Don Shula's record, for a grown professional man to say he doesn't have any set goals, come on, bro. I mean, come on. This was the return of vintage Bill Belichick. Because on Pat McAfee, he's been loose-lipped, sipping before shows. I'm joking. I don't know if he was drinking before shows. I'm clearly joking when I say that. But he's just been a lot less reserved than we're accustomed to Bill Belichick being. And to hear him expound upon these rumors, it's just different. Do I buy the rumors? Yes. I 110% buy the rumors. Would it be a success talking about Bill Belichick in college? How can you doubt anything that Bill Belichick, arguably the greatest, not even arguably, the greatest football coach of all time in the NFL? I would have a hard time doubting his ability at the collegiate level, but here's the thing that I do question. In an era of NIL, if you're Coach Belichick, Do you worry about the ego of some of your players getting in the way of success? Because I don't. I'll tell you why I don't. It was a small concern of mine at first, but then I go to an organization piece. Think about how detailed Bill Belichick was in his approach. A lot of the problems right now in college football is when they're assembling these coaching staffs, they're not separating NIL and actual coaching. I would have an NIL staff that works just on that, and I would have a football coaching staff that predominantly concerns themselves with X's and O's. I think Belichick, according to reports, 400-page set of plans for the athletic director, he's going to be buttoned up in terms of what he is supposed to do. And I think there was a piece of that clip that we didn't get to, part of the longer form of the discussion. Bill Belichick, I think, would turn an NFL program a college program into a direct pipeline to the National Football League from a nutrition standpoint, from a preparation standpoint, And think about all the disrespect he gave towards his grown-ass man players. Imagine how he'd talk to a college kid.
Yeah, but that's the thing with NIL now, man. If you start yelling at these kids, they just go somewhere else. They don't have to put up with it anymore. You don't have to play for a Bob Knight anymore. You can just go somewhere else.
Did NIL impact Nick Saban from cussing people the hell out?
That's why he quit, he says, because of NIL. He didn't want to deal with the new... that's why he left the game. That's why he's retired. So.
It worked. Danny Hurley at UConn. NIL. Back-to-back national champions. He cusses people out with the best of them. So I think Belichick's approach would actually work better in college because there would be a level of respect that I think NFL players at times, based off of money, sometimes just simply don't have. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will open up the vault. Get your popcorn ready. Kiss your wife goodnight. Put the kids to bed. It's Grown Folks Hour coming up here. The most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of Sports Talk Radio. Nell's Super Six Pack. My top six teams in the NFL is up next. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. It's the Youngest in Charge movement. Linnell Willingham riding with you for about another half hour before we hand you off at 10 o'clock. Right now, though, let me get right into it because I take a lot of time to put this power ranking together. Me and the committee over the past several weeks have had the opportunity to burn the midnight oil. We've been waiting.
Who else is on this committee?
You're just going to interrupt my promo here to start this. I mean, geez. Why don't you tell the folks you're a part of the committee, Chris?
I'll be a part of the committee. I'll do it.
This committee, though, as I always like to joke about, and I'm not really joking. This committee had a lot of extra time on their hands over the weekend because Washington did not play. It was the bye week. We got to sit and watch the rest of the NFL. And while doing that, opinions changed. People think differently. People feel confident, more confident in their beliefs. Me, I just am a steady Eddie. I stay the same. But I do know this. If anyone disagrees with the order or the teams in this Super Six Pack, you tweet at me. It's at NELL_BTP. Let's get right into it. The most highly anticipated power ranking segment in all of Sports Talk Radio. It is time for Nell's Super Six Pack. Well, that's not the production I was expecting. I have no clue what that was.
That's the one they've got in here
that's,
for you.
That's just not what it is, and I'm now angry. Number six. That doesn't matter. Number six. That just pissed me off. Number six in L Super Six Pack. My top six teams in the NFL. I mean, we have to do that over again. There's just no way. I mean, we got to. Damn the hotkeys. It's never been in the hotkeys, ever. It's been in the folder. I'm annoyed. Number six is Green Bay. I think the Green Bay Packers clearly. Despite what you think about their loss or what you thought about their loss to Detroit on Thursday Night Football last week, I learned a lot more about the Packers than I did the Lions. I know the Lions are a juggernaut, but the Packers are for real. And last year post-Thanksgiving, Jordan Love was one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. This year post-Thanksgiving, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I am prepared for a Green Bay Packers NFC title run. If it goes that way, they are one of those teams that I legitimately can say they should wake up every morning walking into that facility feeling like, hey, we've got a legitimate shot to make it to the postseason. Right now, Packers 9-4, pretty much locked in. I don't even want to say that, though. They're currently the sixth seed. They're two games back of Minnesota. The schedule for the Packers down the stretch is as follows. Sunday Night Football, they're on the road this week at the Seattle Seahawks. Then after that, they're home on Monday Night Football for the Saints. What an ugly Monday Night Football game that's going to be. Then week 17, they're at Minnesota, who they're in a tight-knit battle with right now for that five seed in the NFC. And they finish at home against Chicago. So we could see a scenario which Green Bay elevates to as high as the fifth seed in the conference. I think their chances of winning the division probably out of here, barring some epic collapse down the stretch from Detroit. But they come in at number six. Number five in Nell's Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. Number five is the Buffalo Bills. But number five is the Buffalo Bills. I look at the Bills. I look at the Bills as a group who, honestly, I may have had higher if they didn't lose the way that they did this weekend to the Rams. There's a couple of like Achilles heels that the Bills have. Their run defense is spotty. And you saw that, the way Kyren Williams and that offense of the Rams was able to have success against them. But Josh Allen, say what you want, playing as good a football as anybody in the NFL, they could ultimately end up with the number one seed in the conference, and we could very much have a situation where the AFC postseason goes through Orchard Park. But I don't know. We'll see. What I do love about this iteration of the Bills, they can run the football, and they're not singularly relying on, you know, Stephon Diggs at receiver. Yes, they've taken a step back, but we've seen Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel at times, you know, Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. Other guys have emerged at wideout for the Bills, and Josh Allen hasn't had to be Superman all the time, but from a throwing standpoint, you just see why he's so special. I think the Bills, some people can make the argument or would make the argument that they're the best team in football. I don't think so. I think the injury situation for Buffalo is going to eventually come back to bite them in the ass. And then I just still defensively think that they've suffered so many injuries on that side of the football that it may just be all she wrote for that group in terms of maximizing their potential. They come in at number five for me. Number four, Nell Super Six Pack, my top six teams in the NFL. Can't believe I'm saying this because I didn't even have him in my six-pack in the last version, and they were undefeated. The Minnesota Vikings coming at number four in Nell's Super Six-Pack, and here is why. Sam Darnold, say what you want, is playing at a ridiculous level right now at quarterback. And I understand when you've got Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison out there to throw the football to, the job may be considered a wee bit easier, but holy hell. What they did this past weekend, 42-21 against Atlanta, Sam Darnold going Kanye crazy relative to the box score, 22-28, 347 yards and not one, not two, not three, not four, but five passing touchdowns from Sam Darnold this weekend. And I didn't even get started on that defense, who was a ferocious group led by the pass rushing expertise of Dallas Turner. And it feels like to me, man, him, Jonathan Greenard, it's only a matter of time before their pass rush gets ratcheted up. Commanders fans out there, you know who had a sack this weekend for the Vikings? Jamin Davis. That guy, I know. Vikings, though, coming to number four. Number three, Nell Super Six Pack, top six teams in the NFL. Number three, the Detroit Lions. Yeah, I got Detroit third. I'm a contrarian, I guess you can say. A lot of people think Detroit's the best team. I think they're the third best team. Here's why. I think their kryptonite is my number two team. What Detroit is scared of is a team that's just as physical, dominant, and nasty on both sides of the line of scrimmage. Their defense is playing well, yes. Goff has been amazing. I love their 1-2 punch of David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. But the reason this Lions offense is so good because they built one of the best offensive lines in football. They pass block nasty. They run block in a physical, violent manner. There's one team in the NFC who I think can punch the Lions in the mouth, and it's that team that plays in North Philly, the Eagles. They come in at number two for me. Say what you want about the infighting. They've won nine in a row, and their offense looks completely unstoppable. Their defense playing at an out-of-this-world level. Vic Fangio coaching them up with the best of them. It's been impressive to watch the Eagles. their Achilles heel may be when teams are going to put more on Jalen Hurts' plate. Can he win ball games with his right arm? We won't know until it matters most. They come in at number two and number one. Not much analysis needed here. Kansas City Chiefs. Benefit of the doubt, BOTD. I've used the same acronym all year long. Until someone dethrones this group, they are the best team in the NFL. Defensively, they are a juggernaut. Chris Jones gets after people. They're secondary full of young ball hawks. Steve Spagnuolo dialing it up with the best of them. Here's why I like the Chiefs. They can run the football when it gets cold outside, and they can stop the run. That's what wins in the postseason. And, oh, by the way, they happen to have the best quarterback of all time. Nell Super Sixpack, Green Bay 6, Buffalo 5, Minnesota 4, Detroit 3, Philadelphia 2, Kansas City 1. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will flip things to the hardwood momentarily. Shams Sarnia, ESPN NBA insider, opened up his trade rumor notebook. What Wizards did he potentially have on the move? That is next here on The Fan. It's the number on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. You tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore B-T-P. I just was refreshing my timeline, and we just were talking NFL. I gave you Nell's Super Six-Pack. You're welcome, by the way, for Nell's Super Six-Pack. I know you all have been crying for it. This is my Christmas gift to you during this holiday season. The best power ranking segment you'll ever hear. Ever. Ever, Chris.
Of all time.
Of all time. But no, I was refreshing my Twitter timeline. My ex timeline, coming back from break, and we got Jeff Kerr, NFL writer, CBSSports.com, tweeted out, Jalen Hurts is the only quarterback to win 11-plus games in each of the past three seasons. The Eagles are 28-8 when Hurts doesn't throw an interception. Hurts, to date, has a 45-19 record as a starting quarterback. And the headline of the article is, when did winning not matter? It kind of leads to more Philadelphia banter. And I'm here for it. I've said it for years. When Jalen Hurts received the contract he received, the $200 million leader, that's it. I don't think he does anything special at quarterback. Just doesn't. And he's also, for my money, outside of Jared Goff, the most insulated quarterback in the NFL. Terms of weapons at the skill position spot and the offensive line. No one has more to work with than Jalen Hurts and Jared Goff.
They keep making him do those tush pushes, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, because he's freaky.
But why don't they just put a tight end in or something? The guy's worth so much money to them. Why would they because risk him getting injured?
He's the strongest guy in the Philadelphia region. Seriously, I don't like native Philadelphia people.
This is the home of Rocky Balboa, my man.
Well, Jalen Hurts is no Rocky. Let me just say that. He's no Rocky. Right now, Nick Foles means more to Philadelphia than Jalen Hurts does. I know for a fact there are Eagles fans that are like, man, we should have never paid, dude. And we could have a much cheaper option right now. I would love to look. I'm going to do it real quick. And I know we're supposed to get to Shams' NBA notebook here real quick, but that article stole my attention. Jalen Hurts' contract is interesting to me in terms of, like, how it breaks down in the details of it. Because, dog, if you are the Eagles, man, at what point do you go, I ain't going to lie, bro. Next year, his cap hits only $21 million, which is, like, amazing. Oh, but the deal doesn't kick in. Oh, the deal doesn't kick in until 26. I don't know, man. The Eagles are going to have an interesting decision to make. After the 26th season, they can get rid of Hurts with a $20 million dead cap hit. There's no way they're going to be able to still put premier talent around him and keep him insulated, as he is, once the contract numbers begin to kick in. I think the Eagles, I don't know, maybe I'm just talking and don't know what I'm talking about, but for what he is asked to do, I mean, paying him the money that they're paying him over the next couple of years. Next year is not bad. A $21 million cap hit a quarterback is peanuts. But then it goes to 31, right?
That's still not too bad.
It's not. Then it goes to 41, which is...
Now you're getting up there.
Now you're getting up there. But, like, he doesn't do anything. He just doesn't. 2028 is when the cap hit is $47 million.
But here's the thing, too. I mean, if you're looking at these contracts going up and up, you know... And
his deal is going to look better as other quarterbacks begin to get paid.
Yeah, like, look at Lawson and whatever. Like his,
so I think that's it. Yeah.
What are they going to be signing for in 2 years from now? Yeah. You know, it's compared to those...
It's probably not a bad contract. So at that point, I don't know. So you may be stuck with him, Eagles fans. Who knows? But I just don't know, man. I like Jalen Hurts. I think he's good. I just am not sure... I am sure. The Eagles are probably going to win the Super Bowl. There, I said it.
I think the Lions are going to beat them.
I think the Eagles are going to punch the Lions in the face.
Especially, I think the Eagles are going to lose to the Commanders, and the Lions are going to win the Super Bowl.
Well, I think you're tripping. I do. I think the Eagles are going to
end up... We'll see.
I think the Eagles end up with the number one seed in the conference still. And why do I say that? Detroit, down the stretch... And I know they haven't lost in forever. They got Buffalo this weekend. What a game.
And Buffalo just lost to LA. They're looking to get back, I'm sure.
It's in Detroit. So, and then they got to go at San Fran, and they got to go home for the Vikings. They can get clipped up here somewhere. My money's still on the Eagles to get the number one seed.
It's hard to beat those dome teams in
yes,
a dome, though.
We will wrap up overtime next by opening up Sham Sarnia's NBA notebook. What wizard rumors did he have in his notebook? We'll get you that next here on The Fan. Welcome back. It is overtime here on 106.7 The Fan. We're always streaming live nationally on the free Odyssey app. Youngest in charge, Movement, Linnell Willingham. One final segment here. We haven't talked any Wizards tonight. And you know, that's for me to go through a show in the month of December and to not touch on any Wizards until the final couple of minutes, it kind of should let you know where things stand right now. But even when things are bad, I normally have something to rant and rave and holler and scream about. But not tonight. Not tonight. I told you we would open up Sham Sarnia's ESPN Insider Notebook. Trade deadline, Sunday. December 15th is a huge day in the NBA. It's where free agents that were signed this summer will be able to officially be traded. And it's also a time period where the G League Winter Showcase happens in Orlando. And I know a lot of the time NBA GMs and execs are out there for that. So it's sort of like a big caucus, or is it sub-caucus? No, Secaucus is New Jersey. Like the Iowa caucus?
Yeah, the caucus would be like a gathering.
Yeah, so that's what the G League Winter Showcase is in Orlando. It's like a caucus.
Yeah. Usually I hear it when they're talking about politics in this town. They're like, the Democratic caucus is nominating this person or whatever.
Republican Independent caucus said. Yeah. But no. In this notebook... there is a couple of references to the Wizards, a couple of highlights in the notebook that I wanted to get to that are interesting to me. Heat are open to listening to offers for Jimmy Butler, which is like, duh, it's 35. And that team is in an interesting spot. Brandon Ingram, another cat that is being rumored in trade talks. I also look at the Warriors, another team mentioned in here. Warriors looking to add a star player. Playmaker or score.
Well, they lost Clay.
Well, yeah, alongside Steph, Draymond. We know Golden State pursued Lauri Markkanen and Paul George this offseason, but I don't know who exactly they'd be able to get. They're like reluctancy to move on from Jonathan Kuminga makes zero sense. I just don't understand it. Kuminga has yet to evolve into anything offensively for real. So I would, if that's going to get you a star, I may move off of Kuminga, but they're probably keeping the future, you know, on their mind as well here in Golden State. It just is weird. The Pelicans are the interesting team here. 5-20 in the West. If I'm the Pelicans and I'm David Griffin and company, I play this year cool. What if the Pelicans lucked into a lottery pick and ended up with Cooper Flagg or Dylan Harper or Ace Bailey? You add that to a core of Zion, DeJounte Murray, Herb Jones. Pelicans fans out there, I know it stinks because Zion's hurt again and it feels like your franchise has no direction right now. But if there was a year to accidentally be terrible, it would be this year. And the Pelicans are a piece away for being a bona fide contender in the Western Conference. So I
really think that just one piece away, because I don't know.
They are, dude. They've got a lot. They just got to stay healthy. They have a. Dude, the Pelicans were a top three seed in the conference a season ago. They're very good. Now, the thing that stinks is just the injury situation for that group.
I feel the West is just so competitive. If there's the East, I'd be like, sure, but...
Dude, that's what should make you respect them even more. They were one of the top teams in the West last year in a loaded Western Conference. Wizards note in here. It's a very small note. Several contending teams are expected to pursue Wizards forward Kyle Kuzma.
We already kind of knew that, though.
I've never seen a guy do more to... deflate his trade value than Kyle Kuzma. He's stunk this year. He just has. He's going to do it, though, here for this Tuesday night edition of Overtime. Big thank you to all of your calls. Big thank you to Matthew Paris. Big thank you to Metal Crisp on the Glass, keeping us up to speed. I'm back with you tomorrow, 1 to 4 p.m., over on our sister station, the Team 980, myself and Chris Russell, for a Win Bag Wednesday. You aren't going to want to miss it.
Those are always fun.
Yeah, they are. Good night.